Welcome to episode 414 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. The Sermon on the Mount, recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, includes some of the most well-known teachings of Christ. Jesus didn't come to replace the law, but to fulfill it. Our Savior spoke in a way all could understand. But in this sermon, he pulled his disciples even closer. Every word was intentional and full of wisdom to live by, not just rules to religiously follow. 2 weeks ago, we explored 15 passages from Matthew 5. Last week, we studied 11 passages from Matthew 6. Today, we consider 11 passages from Matthew 7. Matthew 7 verses 1 to 2. Do not judge others, and you will not be judged, for you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. Earlier in the sermon, Jesus had called for a righteousness that was greater than that of the scribes and Pharisees. In the way some people think, the way to make oneself more righteous is to be more judgmental of others. Jesus here rebukes that kind of thinking. Among those who seem to know little of the Bible, this is a popular verse. Yet many who quote this verse don't understand what Jesus said. They seem to think, or hope, that Jesus commanded a universal acceptance of any lifestyle or teaching. Not so. As borne out later in this very chapter, some assessment of whether people are doing the right thing is appropriate. But note this, the Christian is called to show unconditional love, but the Christian is not called to unconditional approval. We really can love people who do things that should not be approved of. We break this command when we think the worst of others. We break this command when we only speak to others of their faults. We break this command when we judge an entire life only by its worst moments. We break this command when we judge the hidden motives of others. We break this command when we judge others without considering ourselves in their same circumstances. We break this command when we judge others without being mindful that we ourselves will be judged. There's a principle that Jesus returns to over and again in Matthew 7. This whole idea of put yourself in your neighbor's shoes, in the other's shoes. How would you want to be treated? Are you treating others in that way? Matthew 7 verses 3 to 5. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is the log in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Jesus indicates that the one with the log in his own eye is often not immediately aware of it. He is blind to his obvious faults. It is the attempt to correct the faults of someone else when we ourselves have the same or greater faults that earns the accusation, hypocrite. Matthew 7 verse 6. Don't waste what is holy on people who are unholy. Don't throw your pearls to pigs. They will trample the pearls, then turn and attack you. We need to balance love with discernment. Matthew 7 verse 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. We see a progressive intensity, going from ask to seek to knock. Jesus tells us to have intensity, passion, and persistence in prayer. The fact that Jesus comes back to the subject of prayer, already dealt with in some depth in Matthew 6, shows the importance of prayer. Matthew 7 verse 11. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? In comparison to even the best human father, how much more is God a good and loving father? Matthew 7 verse 12. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. the golden rule. If we would simply treat others the way we would want to be treated, we would naturally obey all the law says about our relationships with others. Matthew 7, verses 13 to 14. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Each of us has to decide between two ways and one of two destinations. Matthew 7, verses 16 to 20. By their fruit you will recognize them, that is, by their contrived doctrine and self-focus. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the unhealthy tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruit, you will recognize them. We should pay attention to the manner of living a teacher shows. Do they show righteousness, humility, and faithfulness in the way they live? We should pay attention to the content of their teaching. Is it true fruit from God's word, or is it man-centered, appealing to what we might want to hear? We should pay attention to the effect of their teaching. Are people growing in Jesus, or merely being entertained and eventually falling away? Matthew 7, verses 21 to 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and cast out demons in your name, and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. This warning applies to people who speak or say things to Jesus or about Jesus, but don't really mean it. True, they have impressive spiritual accomplishments, but they mean nothing without true fellowship, true connection with Jesus. In the end, there is one basis of salvation. It isn't mere verbal confession, not spiritual works, but knowing Jesus and being known by him. It is our connection to him by the gift of faith that he gives to us that secures our salvation. Connected to Jesus, we are secure. Without connection to him, all the miracles and great works prove nothing. Matthew 7, verses 24 to 27. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. In Jesus' illustration of the two builders, each house looks the same from the outside. The real foundation of our life is usually hidden and is only proven in the storm. It is better that we test the foundation of our life now rather than later, at our judgment before God, when it is too late to change our destiny. Matthew 7, verses 28 to 29. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he taught with real authority, quite unlike their teachers of religious law. Whenever God's word is presented as it truly is, with its inherent power, it will astonish people and set itself apart from the mere opinions of man. This brings us to the end of our three-week deep dive into the Sermon on the Mount. We encourage you to reread the sermon in its entirety and meditate further on the great truths contained therein. As you study, ask God to reveal his will to you. Seek the indwelling of his Spirit and knock on the door that will open up the way that leads to salvation. Father, we thank you for the words of wisdom from the great Sermon on the Mount. May these words convict our hearts and transform our lives. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.